This month, we're talking about pressing on. That's the year's theme. And this month, we're talking about being leaders for the Lord. We introduced this topic last Sunday. And we are at a point in this church where we have never been, where we need people to step forward and to do whatever they can do to be able to make things happen that really need to happen. We're not talking about elders and deacons. We're just talking about fathers and mothers leading their children. And in this lesson this morning, we'll be talking somewhat specifically about husbands and wives and the responsibilities that they can be to each other to help each other walk in the paths of righteousness, because there are those paths. But to introduce the lesson, I want you to recognize that there are opportunities that lie before us to help. I want us to take just 4 minutes and look at what's happened in Marsh Harbor to our brethren in that place. I don't know about you, I weep when I watch this video. Marsh Harbor was the hardest hit of all of the places on this earth where the Lord's church is. There's that building that does not exist anymore. Look outside the building, those boards that were put there to keep the waters from coming in. Can you believe 8 feet of water came into that building? The pews are ruined. No more songbooks. No more Bibles. And members of their home living in that kind of situation through the midst of a storm that sat there for 3.5 days with winds in excess of 120 miles an hour, and some of the gusts were 200 miles an hour. You look at that video and you can see the kind of devastation there is. Out behind that building at Marsh Harbor is a concrete block building that you'll be seeing in just a moment. The roof was torn off, and while those concrete walls are still there, nothing is left. Imagine being in your home, like some of our brethren were, sitting there, and the roof comes off, and the wind sucks every bit of the possessions that you have out of your house. And some of our brethren slept in their cars because they could not get back to their house. And if they got back to their house, there was no assurance there would even be beds there for them. That's the lesson we're talking about this morning. You begin looking at that video and seeing it more in detail. You can see the kinds of things we're talking about. The building with the windows, they're the ones, but that's that building on the outside. The second building they have. Once the place where they ate together, it was the place where they had many of their Bible classes together. It was a place of residence when those who went to work in that land were able to live and to have a place to live while they served. There lies before us, because we know these four congregations that are on Abaco and on Freeport better than any other congregations in America. Perhaps God has brought us to this place for such a time as this. The whole design of what we're talking about today is to try to help each of us recognize that there's something every one of us can do. Young people, there's something you can do. We'll talk about some of those things in this lesson, but by the way, there's just far more that can be done. When we get to that lesson, talking about what part of our lesson, when we're talking about others have done and what our responsibility to do, and as we provide this hurricane relief for the Bahamas. Let's introduce the lesson by talking about a young Christian. He's only been a Christian, if you can figure the math out just right, for about 4 years. That's about the same amount of time some of you have been Christians. I'm talking about the fact that there's Paul. I want us to look at the text for just a minute and look and highlight some of the words that are there, and then we'll get to a map looking at that. Let's look at the text. Barnabas finds Paul, that's what verse 26 says, and brought him to Antioch, a babe in Christ. So it was that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Prophets come to Antioch from Jerusalem, from a Jewish congregation to a Gentile congregation. And a man by the name of Agabus stands before them and, speaking by the direction of the Holy Spirit, tells them, there's a famine that's about to hit the whole world. Luke says, and it did hit the whole world during the times of Claudius Caesar. What do those disciples do? The Bible says, each one, according to his ability, determined to help, determined to send relief to the brethren who dwelt in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Paul, and they stayed there for a while the distribution was being made of those goods. We read Bible places and Bible names, it means very, very little to us. Could we look at a map and maybe help us have an appreciation even better of the things that are happening? Look at this map and we'll be able to find. Here's Antioch. Jerusalem is down in this area, just off the bottom part of this map. There's Tarsus, where Paul was born and where he lived, and that's the very place that Barnabas came from Antioch over to, by the way, Barnabas had moved up there and come up there and brought Saul back to this place. Paul had become a Christian. We do not have the city of Damascus on the map, but over in this area is the city of Damascus. He obeyed the gospel there. He goes to Arabia for 3 years, and then he comes back sitting in Tarsus, perhaps thinking, wonder how the Lord can use me. Is that possible that you're thinking, how can the Lord use me this day? And so the Bible says that whenever that situation developed, they sent that money down here to Jerusalem. And when that money arrived down here in Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas then went back to Antioch. While they're there in Antioch, the Holy Spirit speaks through some prophet that was there and says, God has a work for Paul and Barnabas to do. Separate them for the work that I have appointed them to do. And so that church in Antioch became a focal point of that work that was being done. And Paul and Barnabas leave on that first missionary journey. They come to Cyprus. They then come up into this area. You may have heard of another place called Antioch of Pisidia. Antioch and Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. This whole area up here is called Galatia. There was a political Galatia and there was a regional Galatia. And so the generic was that Paul and them went to that on their first missionary journey. More than 2 years are involved in that journey at least. And they return back to Antioch, and there's a problem that develops in the church, a doctrinal problem over the matter of circumcision. You read in Acts chapters 13 and 14 about Paul's missionary journey and how exciting it is to know of just very few days of a journey that may have lasted for 2 years. Wonder what stories were not told and what stories we someday will hear in heaven. But you stop and think about the fact that there was the problem in the church, and so Paul and Barnabas leave from Antioch and come back down to the city of Jerusalem. There are brethren who are gathered there to talk about this matter of circumcision. Do those Gentiles, because the churches are spread up in over to Cyprus and into Galatia, Do those Christians need to be a part of Judaism? Do they need to be circumcised? And when they arrive there, they talk about it. The Holy Spirit gives them instructions. And the Bible indicates, look in Galatians chapter 2, that James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace of God had been given to me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles, and James and Peter and John were going to continue their work among Jewish congregations. But here's what they said: as you work among the Gentiles, remember the poor. And Paul said, I was very, very zealous to do that very thing. We jump from Acts chapter 15 to Acts chapter 16 and look again at that. While we've got this about Galatians, let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 and 10 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. We're facing before us something that's not just going to happen today and tomorrow, but perhaps for weeks and months. Because of where this congregation is and the association that we have and the doors that lie open before us weeks and months. Brethren, let us not be weary in well-doing. God's promised us the harvest, and in due season we shall reap. And so the statement is, as opportunities come to us, as open doors come our way, let us step through those doors and help other individuals do good to all men, but especially to our brethren. And as we think about the work that we intend to do in the Bahamas, it's not our purpose to try to go and feed every hungry person on all of those islands that are there. But we have brethren. They have houses that do not exist. They have shells of houses. We have church buildings that need to be rebuilt. And all of that will not happen just in an instant. But there is an open door that lies before us, and we should be aware of that. It's interesting that Paul then go to that map. Paul leaves Antioch. Barnabas and John Mark go back to Cyprus. Paul leaves Antioch along with Silas. They come up in this area of Galatia. Timothy joins them and they go over to Troas. They wanted to go to Ephesus, wanted to go to Bithynia. The Lord says, that's not what's going to happen. Go to Troas. And a Macedonian call was received. From there, Acts 16 says, they went over in this area of Macedonia. You see perhaps the names of some of those congregations that are there. If we talk about Philippi, the letters to the Philippians was written to them. Thessalonica, up in that area. And it is obvious that Paul, when he arrived in that place, told these brethren about the poor that were going to need help. You see, the land of Palestine especially was under the curse of God because there were famines and earthquakes and all kinds of things that were coming as a part of the judgment of God against the Jewish nation who had killed his son. That's what Matthew 24 is all about. So not only was that there that situation in Acts chapter 11, there is that ongoing situation that because of the sin that is in the world, they were still poor. And so he arrives at Thessalonica. He arrives at Philippi. And small churches, as far as we know, are established in those places. Take a moment and look at these churches that are in Macedonia before we talk about the churches down here in Achaia. Paul says, brethren, he says to the Corinthians, we make known to you the grace of our God bestowed on the churches, plural, of Macedonia. Not just one church, but all of those churches that had been established up in that area. And he says, they are in a great trial of affliction, but one thing they have, is an abundance of joy. Guess what they do not have? Here Paul is trying to raise money for the poor saints that are down in Judea. And up in Macedonia, there are those brethren who are described as being in deep poverty. And yet you add that joy and that poverty together, and verse 3, that they were freely willing to do whatever they could do. Paul was hesitant even about taking money from these poor people. They had to beg Paul, imploring Paul, "Paul, that door is open before us. We want to help." Where is your heart in relationship to helping our brethren in the Bahamas? We're not in the midst of deep poverty, but oh, how they need our help. They had to beg Paul to take this money. But he says, you know why all this happened? Because the first thing they did, they gave themselves to the Lord. I want you to think of the commitment that you made to God the day you became a Christian. That's your first love. And there lies before us an opportunity to help in doing whatever we can to alleviate the suffering of brethren who have no homes in which to live. That's the churches that were there. Paul then, go back, comes down to Corinth. After leaving Macedonia, we've talked about these churches that are in Corinth. He tells the church in Corinth about there's an opportunity. In fact, after he leaves Corinth, he's there for about 18 months, but after he leaves Corinth, he writes a letter back over to Corinth, and he reminds them, now concerning the collection for the saints, upon the first day of the week, you lay by in store as you've been prospered. But Paul indicates in that passage that it was not just a commandment given in a local situation to the church at Corinth. It was given to the churches of Galatia as I gave commandment, as I gave order, decree of God upon the first day of the week. You give as you have been prospered. And so they were doing that. But when he writes the second letter, while they had been willing at Corinth, unlike those individuals who were in Macedonia, they were, who were really ready, he was concerned about the fact that whenever he comes back on this third missionary journey, go ahead and put the next slide up, on this third missionary journey, Paul is going to come back up to this area. He's going to come down from Berea, down from this area, down to Corinth, bringing brethren with him. And he says, brethren, you need to be ready. You need to be ready to give. Take a moment and look at the churches in Achaia, Corinth. Some time has passed. Paul is ready to take that third journey. And he says, I want you to know that when I've been in Macedonia, I've been boasting to them about you. I've been telling those folks in Macedonia about how great you are in your wanting to help and to serve God, and how exciting it would have been for them to hear of the good things that were happening down in Corinth. They're not described as being in deep poverty, but one of the things that they're lacking may be the abundance of joy to bring all of these things about. And so he says, they had the joy and no funds. You have the funds and no joy. That's an overstatement of that situation. But when he talks about there might be an equality, that their joy and your blessings can work together to be able to bring something that is really going to happen. Look in verse 2, he says, looking at that verse in Corinth, he says, they were ready a year ago. A year's transpired, more than a year's transpired, and now Paul is coming back to collect that money, and he says, lest if some of those brethren who come with me from Macedonia, verse 4, they find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be embarrassed because of the confident boasting that I have done. I thought it necessary to send some brethren before me, ahead of myself, to go ahead of me and prepare the generous gift beforehand. I'm headed there when I arrive, that there be no collections when I come. Have that gift ready, which you had previously promised. And be ready to do this as a matter of generosity. Open doors. And how amazing all of this is tied to the aspect of benevolence. Paul does. He gathers the funds. He goes back to Jerusalem. That's where he's imprisoned. He delivers the funds. He's imprisoned and finally goes to Rome. And that's sort of the rest of Paul's life. But when he thinks about the church at Philippi and the church at Corinth, these are the memories that he would have. What lessons are there to be learned from what we've just talked about? In the first place, there is the lesson that brethren need to help each other. Churches of Christ are not in competition with other churches of Christ. We're all brethren. They're not big lighthouses and little lighthouses. It's just the light of the gospel shining through the members in various congregations. But we need to be able to be there for each other in ways, especially those of the household of faith. But I want to remind you something of something that you have heard before, that everyone has an ability. And so as we read those verses, according to his own ability, they gave. We think about that verse as it applies to money, but today I want to make it application in your life. What can I do here at Palm Beach Lakes? What role can I fill here at this place in order that we might be able to help those who are suffering? I think it is amazing that we underestimate the abilities that we have and be mindful. We're not talking about elders and deacons, not that kind of leadership. We're talking about people that just rise up that sometimes you don't even see, and all of a sudden they become a part of the lighthouses of God because of the abilities that they've had. This congregation several years ago sent electricians and roofers over to the church at Marsh Harbor. We were a part of putting that roof on a building where the winds had blown that roof off before. And some of you were there. Some of you were electricians and helped wire that very building that was there. You've been to Marsh Harbor. You've been to Freeport. I want you to understand that opportunities arise from unusual circumstances. I could not have preached this sermon 2 weeks ago, but the opportunity is here. Not only is the opportunity here, but we have worshiping with us this morning Bahamian Christians. When we have deaf people to come and worship with us, we always use the sign to welcome every deaf person that walks into our building. We say to the deaf, I love you. I want to ask my Bahamian brethren to please stand at this time. Right now, stand if you would. All of you, don't be ashamed. This church has something we want to say to you. We love you, brethren. Thank you. and there's so many others. When opportunities arise, we need to think, where do I fit in all of this? Brethren, it all starts with us giving ourselves to God. I try to pray every day of my life, God, use me today. Find some place today that I can serve you. Find me somebody to talk to about the Lord. Find me somebody I can serve, some brother or sister in Christ I can encourage. And I beg of every one of you in beginning today and in the weeks that lie ahead, you pray, God, use me every way that you can. Because our example, not that we want any honor to be brought to us. Palm Beach Lakes is just simply a body of people. We're not the best church of Christ in Palm Beach County. We're not the biggest church that has nothing at all. But we are individuals who have said to God, we're going to serve you. And as we mentioned in that sermon last week, we become examples to others by everything that we do. And we can be an example to brethren around this nation of what can happen. Others are helping already. I just think it's marvelous. I talked to Jeff this week and he said, I've got to spend $10,000 in a hurry. Within 3 hours, an email comes from a church that says, we're sending $10,000 to you. Others are hearing about what we're trying to do. And there are other ways that individuals can help, but we occupy a unique place in trying to help. Next Sunday, the church in Clearwater has already committed itself that whatever is given at that church on that Sunday, every dollar that is given will be sent to this church to help. The need is massive. How many dollars does it take to rebuild that building in Marsh Harbor? How much money is going to be involved? I'm thankful that a church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, I talked to one of the members of the church there, and they said, we're sending $30,000. And if you need more, we may be able to send more. Another email mentions $20,000. But it's not those big numbers I'm interested in. It's us being an avenue so that widow who has her two mites and is trying to send it in a place that'll do the most good can with confidence do this. Right this very day, this very hour, in congregations that meet at times later than we do, and particularly in other time zones, there are little children in their Bible classes writing cards that will be included in the things that we ship over to the Bahamas, where they can open up whatever is there, and there will be that little note from a little 6 or 7, 8 year old child that says, I'm praying for you. That's what we're talking about. It takes a leader to make that happen. Parents, do you know this afternoon you could spend time helping your small children do that very thing? As a leader of your family, so those cards can be sent. It's rather ironic, and I say this. I receive a letter, email from some person that says, and we want to send teddy bears so all the little kids can have teddy bears to hug. And the message we sent back was, no, the needs are greater than teddy bears. as important as teddy bears are if you don't have a bed to sleep in, if there's no food, if there's no water. We need to put more important things in what we send. And it doesn't need to be left up to us to decide what might make us feel good if I could just send this. We need to hear from them. And how thankful I am that Palm Beach Lakes is here saying, God, use us. And it starts today. We already have one truck that is filled with generators and chainsaws and all kinds of stuff. Things that the Bahamian Christian says, this is what we need right now. Our family room is not full, but after services, you will be able to go to the family room and with your own hands, young people, and those who have parents of small children, and even those who are older, and go in there and pick up whatever is there, and there will be a U-Haul truck out in the breezeway to carry. We need to empty out the family room, knowing that by Tuesday afternoon, those supplies will be over to help those brethren on both of those islands. There are so many doors that need to open and open before us. Even getting back into Marsh Harbor and having an avenue. If we send a ton of stuff to Marsh Harbor, where are you going to put it? There's no building there to store and to distribute that. But by the help of God, there will be. And so as you leave today, I hope you will not immediately head for those doors, that you will walk down to the family room and with your own hands pick up something. I'm not sure the weight of everything that's there. There may not be any lightweight stuff there, but likely there is. And let's load up that U-Haul truck, knowing that Tuesday afternoon, by the grace of God, two truckloads, 15 generators, all kinds of chainsaws, food, breakfast food. But the family room is empty. What do? Let me remind you that the baskets will be out, as we often do in situations like this. And if you want to give extra today, the baskets are there. We need money. The Lord needs His money that He's given to you to do His work in the Bahamas. It's not we. It's our brethren who are suffering, who need our help. Now then, it won't take that long to load up that truck, hopefully. And then we want to have all of those who are interested to come back into this building and meet with Jeff Leslie. There are 50 jobs, 50 different ways you can serve. We do not know what all those ways are. We will have to create situations and create individuals working on particular things to make things happen. We need people to go purchase supplies. Is there anybody here that loves to shop? We had, three or four of our men that went to Costco. Jeff, what did you guys spend? Was it $3,000 you spent at Costco? Some such numbers that was spent for food at Costco. there'd be women to jump up and down for the chance of spending $3,000 and think of the joy of not spending it on yourself. We need to have those who can interface with other churches that want to send supplies to us and send money to us. We need those who will organize the food and the water and the building materials and the supplies and to administrate, to be in charge of that family room as things come in, to sort all of that. We don't need two or three people to volunteer for that. We need this church to respond to that. If you can only work 3 hours a week in that, wonderful. Thank God that you'll be able to find that time. We need those who prepare the things to be ready to ship, to deliver the supplies. How will we get these truckloads of things down to Fort Lauderdale where they'll be air freighted over? How's that going to happen? Somebody's got to drive trucks. You may know somebody that's got a big truck. We don't want to rent U-Haul trucks. You may be able to use your own pickup one day of the week or something. You may not be able to take everything that goes that day. Remember when Andrew came by? You remember the caravans where people took out all of their seats in their minivans? I remember on one occasion on 36th Street, we had 110 chainsaws. We carried down in one day down to help Andrew. The joy of doing that type of thing. And then letting other brethren know what we're doing in an advertising way and to interface with individuals and congregation and those who keep records of contributors and those who want to keep who are involved in arranging for workers to go over to the Bahamas to make sure that the church at Palm Beach Lakes is reported to. We need workers to go. Are you a tradesman? Are you an electrician? Are you a builder? Do you know somebody that could go in a congregation in some other place? You know somebody could go for 2 weeks and go over there and be a part of doing what they could do in the 2 weeks they might be over there? Maybe a shorter period of time. But we're going to be involved in this for a much longer time, and maybe 3 days might work, but initially we need lots of workers to go. I talked to my cousin Ansel. He said when Andrew came through Miami back in, what was it, 92, the church had a group of men who did nothing but every day of their lives went out and put roofs on houses. And members of the church and those who were not members of the church and just were helping people. And the church and the Sunset Congregation was widely known for all that they did. We need tradesmen. You may have abilities that we have not even thought of that might be useful. We need to perhaps provide temporary housing for some of those individuals who are displaced from the Bahamas. We need individuals to sit down and to help take care of those individuals from the Bahamas who might come our way. Be able to care them to doctors. Maybe you work in the legal field. Maybe you could help them be able, if they're having problems. We're not talking about immigration problems, about becoming residents. We're just talking about trying to help them stay alive and be able to function while they're here in this land. We need people to plan trips to the Bahamas when we'll be going over there. It's likely we may be sending workers over there to Marsh Harbor. Church is really weak numerically over in that area. They may need individuals to go over that area once we can find a place where you might be able to stay. That's one of those doors we got to find. Got to find our way through. Find a place where you can go and stay and be a part of distributing food there, just exactly like you did when Andrew came through in 92. And that's only half of the list Jeff gave to me. So after we got all that truck loaded, I want you to come back in, and in this area right here, we want you all to sit down. Well, maybe the front two on both sides, as close to the front as you can, so Jeff can tell you in greater detail the very things that are happening. God help us. Let's pray. God, with one heart and one mind and one soul, we come to you as a people united by a cause that lies out before us. And we pray, Father, for the unity of the body of Jesus, that we may, as one body, step to the front, not to bring glory to us, but to bring the glory of people seeing the light that shines and glorifying our great Father who is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the fact that doors are open before us, and help us to be courageous, help us to extend ourselves, and God, we simply say, use us any way you can, every way that you can to accomplish your will. Bless us, Lord, and may we see us doing greater things for you, not because we're great, but because of abilities, maybe hidden abilities, that you've given to us. Bless, Father, our Bahamian brethren in all of their suffering, and may we not forget them. Peter, James, and John said to Paul and Barnabas, remember the poor. And those words sort of echo in our hearts today as we read the scriptures, those very words, remember the poor. Help us to respond as Paul did when he said, and this we gladly did. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. We'll also have a closing song. But remember, the baskets are here to help. If you're not prepared to help today, then give monies to the elders later on. There's an ongoing need that will last for such a long, long time. But I would encourage every one of you to empty the family room. You'll be amazed what a simple thing it is when you pick up one thing from the family room and carry it out and put it on that truck, knowing that 72 hours from now, there'll be people sharing in the very blessings that you were a part of sending today. Are you a part of the body of Jesus? The Lord can let you be a leader. I'm not talking about elders and deacons. I'm just talking about somebody who says, I'm going to try to help do what I can. How does one become a part of his body? What a great body it is that here we are, unharmed at all by the hurricane, with tears in our hearts, if not in our eyes, about a part of our body that's in the Bahamas and hurting. That's what Christianity is, and you need to be a part of it. To do that, you need to believe that He's the Son of God. That's trusting in Him. You need to repent of your sins, to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. How can anybody be ashamed to confess that? And then be immersed in water, that the blood of Jesus that was shed in His death can wash away your sins when you're baptized into His death. You can do that today. If you're an unfaithful Christian and need for the church to pray with you about sin in your life, won't you let it be known? For either of these things, if I come to the front right now, as together we stand and sing. Will you come?